and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who need us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
All right, folks, we're back. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this eighth day of April 2005. Guest this hour, as he was last, Carl Schwartz. And Carl, on the onlinejournal.com, there is a story about the A3 Skywarrior. It says in part, because there's a lot of confusion here, some people are claiming that an A3 engine, that type of engine, that was not the engine that was found at the Pentagon. Now, I want to read this. They are all jet engine components, past and present, on the A3 Skywarrior twin turbojet airplane and on older versions of 737s. The U.S. Air Force has only a few of the A3s left in operation. What was formerly Hughes Aircraft, now it's Raytheon, has a fleet of them at Van Nuys, California. Now, this type of turbojet engine has never been used on a Boeing 757, which they said hit the Pentagon, so the debate on type of plane can end there. This is a jet engine component with a fan, not an auxiliary power unit, as some have speculated or dropped into the conversation as disinformation. Now, what's been interesting is the level of the content blocking that there is on the Internet, where specific information regarding certain jet engine components, such as those shown at the Pentagon, have definitely been blocked. Our team had to take steps to go around the content blocks to get the photos and regarding these rotor hub components. That part of the specific UPN, Universal Part Number, and it cannot be found by looking for the UPN. Other measures were needed to find what you are seeing in these photos to circumvent what is apparently intentional content blocking. Now, someone has gone to considerable lengths to make sure that the actual components that were found at the Pentagon could not be found, and it took my team over 2 years to hammer through such blocks to find three of these photos, Praxair and Evergreen, by the way, to verify the component. Yes, Hughes Aircraft had a fleet of them and was bought out by Raytheon. That company is doing well for the reasons that I now know of due to Bush, his war policy, and even the move from Mode 4 to Mode 5 technology since the PRC got its hands on our top-secret Mode 4 technology, and the story goes on. Now, Carl, there have been people that have questioned the story here that this is not an A3 engine, but this is definitely, we can say without a doubt, that that was not a 757 that hit the Pentagon as claimed. And again, folks, These are hijacked aircraft. You know, this is part of the logs. This is part of, the official story here. You know, folks, at any given time in this country, you have 4,000 or 5,000 jet aircraft flying around this country.
Or more.
And more. You know, we're not even counting military here. We're just counting commercial aircraft. But if you would, Carl, we got to take the break. But when we come back out of the break, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Pentagon issue, because there seems to be people trying to nitpick the proverbial fly crap out of the sugar bowl.
Yeah, including Chertoff, Popular Mechanics, and Art Bell.
Exactly.
So he'd be more than happy to address it.
Just to name a few. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. 800-313-9443. Join us on air on this Friday edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stattmiller, and we'll return right after this short break.
Hi, my name is Don Wiskin. You may have heard me talk about how I got my life back after a heart attack. Since then, I have shared Cartivite, a garlic and cayenne mixture, with many others. Listen to what some people have to say.
Like, I couldn't walk from my yard to go up to the corner. That's not even a half a kilometer. And I get about halfway there and I have to go back because my legs were getting too sore already. Now I walk there and I walk to the other end of the road and I come back and my legs still aren't sore.
I've taken stuff. I got a whole window built here, but I wasn't on that thing a week. And I could just, like, you just know sometimes you sit with your legs crossed and your foot goes to sleep, and then you can feel it coming back. Well, that's just how this thing is operating. I can feel the feeling coming back in my feet.
To join the thousands already benefiting from Cartivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit cartivite.us for more information.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
At 11:40 p.m. on April the 14th, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you honor a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security, and there is a storm a-brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we're on course with a similar destiny. The question is, what are you going to do? Hop aboard our well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting, dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Preparedness never made more sense than it does today. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Let's go straight back to the phones. But first, I almost forgot, Carl. I wanted to get your explanation here on what seems to be a mix-up. And we've even had people here locally after they saw you here in Austin, Texas, take exception to what you were saying about what type of engine was found at the Pentagon.
Right. The A-3 Sky Warrior was an approved airframe and actually went into service in the late 1950s. What a lot of people don't understand is when it first came out, it was using an Allison J-33, and then it later switched to an Allison J-71. Then it later switched to a Pratt & Whitney 57. However, all of those power plants on that airplane were in service and used and literally burned up by the mid-70s. You with me so far?
So far.
Jet engines actually, every time you turn them on, because of the humidity that's in the air particles, and even the dust particles that are in the air, every time you turn a high-speed jet engine on, you are wearing those components. You're creating hairline fractures. You can only send that thing back to the shop so many times to repair it. For those planes to still be in service, what they had to do was they had to adapt and change the airframe and put on a different power plant for it to still be used, because nobody manufactures those three jet engines anymore. Those three types of jet engines, the two Allisons, the one Pratt & Whitney, have long since been burned up, used up. cast aside as junk, so to speak. And then they went over to a different type of air plant. The power plant on those things was actually the older version. It's called a JT-8D. That is the original power plant that was on the 737 before they went to the CFM-56. All of this evolves. All of this changes. I had one person come forward and challenge us on the fact of, well, the actuator that was found is the actuator that's used on the 757. Well, guess what? The actuators on the Air 3 have all worn out, too. The only way to keep them airworthy and up in the sky is change out the actuators, too. They've even had to change out the wheels. They've had to change out the landing assemblies because the people that made the original components no longer manufacture them.
Went out of business?
They went out of business, or they got bought up, or they got, you know, it's one of those things where for an older airplane, there is one of my... I think I told you this before, and when we were in Austin on March 8th, you read the part in there that I have a company called INET Security Systems. And you didn't know that. INET does not stand for Internet. It stands for Intelligence Nets. We design UAVs. We design components. I'll tell you how small this world is. When I was speaking to Jane Christensen's class yesterday, one of her 9/11 students is an Air Force guy who has spent the last 18 years working on Mode 4 technology. I mean, he was stunned to find out what type of background I have and where we came from to prove this case. And the A3 Sky Warrior is the only smaller airplane. We're talking smaller than a 757, 767, smaller than a 737, that has twin engines hanging under the wings. We have found eyewitnesses that saw the plane, and they said it had two engines hanging under the wings, but it was much smaller than a 737. You know, every time you see Southwest Air, 737, that's what they fly. The only other airframe out there that's still operational is an A3 by process of elimination. Then we went back. You remember when the picture was taken at the Pentagon of the people carrying the wing out?
Yes.
There's a lot you can tell about the shape of that wing, even though it is underneath that blue tarp. That wing is a configuration of an A3, not a 757.
Well, and Carl, I mean, using common sense, you know, I'm sitting here right now looking at pictures from the Pentagon, and this is shortly after rescue and fire showed up. Where is the debris for a full-sized aircraft?
Exactly.
Where is it?
So they found a couple of seats, but guess how many seats an A3 has? Maximum number of seats is 7. The normal number of seats is 5.
You know, and Carl, I have seen
they only found several seats, and they only found 2 wheels.
Carl, I got to tell you something. I have seen, and I have been on site and walked through the smoldering rubble of a jet airliner coming down 20 years ago. Northwest had its problems up the Detroit Metro Airport.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, one Northwest plane went sliding into the terminal, and the other one, of course, ended terminally because the pilot, the indicator for the flap setting, was not operational, and the guy took off with neutral flaps, with a fully loaded aircraft, fuel and personnel, passengers, and baggage. And I got to tell you something. I walked through that smoldering debris field. And I've got to tell you something, folks. If you've never been to a jet airliner crash, you may have seen some pictures of them, but you don't know the extent of carnage. I mean, nothing standing, everything burnt to a crisp, but seats, luggage, fuselage parts, landing gears, engines. I mean, anything that you could imagine that people would have in their personal belongings.
Well, it's kind of like dropping your car from 10,000 feet. There's parts all over the ground.
There, it is simply amazing. And that, on just by itself, when I first saw the photographs of the Pentagon, of course, I was there like everybody else watching the newsreels and the news feeds when the accident happened and shortly afterwards. But I got to tell you something, Carl. That is the number one thing that stuck in my mind, that where is the wreckage?
Well, there was one other component. You remember when they were doing the cleanup, when FEMA was doing the cleanup, not in the National Transportation Safety Board, but FEMA was doing the cleanup over at the Pentagon. If you look real close at one of those photographs, not only do you see the rotor hub that we've been trying to identify for quite some time, But in the background, you can actually see part of the jet cowling. You can prove just from the diameter of that jet cowling that that did not come off of a 757. It came off of a much smaller component. And John Carlson, the guy that wrote that article that you were citing on Jeff Rentz, he actually went to a museum. We tracked down where there is actually a JT-8D on display.
And I'm looking at that photograph as we speak also.
Yes, and he went and took multiple photographs of that particular jet engine. And then we started tracking from there. Now, the funny thing is, as soon as we raised all these issues about content blocking, all of a sudden content blocking was lifted.
Well, it's like closing the barn door after the horse already got out.
Yes. And then the other thing, you know, what Danny posted on my website recently, on Jimmy Walter's site, my presentation in New York City, which is only about a third of what I had to say. For about 2 or 3 days, people couldn't even access that video. You know, they couldn't even get through the introduction Ed Begley Jr. made, where I started talking and telling America what we had found and what America needs to know that is a fallacy about 9/11.
Ed Begley, was that the actor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. He was one of two MCs. The other one was Jamie, and Jamie is a professor at I think New York University, but he's also a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And they both did an excellent job that night.
All right. We have callers that have been waiting patiently. We'll go back to your calls. John in Minnesota. Hello, John.
Yeah, greetings.
Hi.
I have a series of photos that I got shortly after the North Tower had been hit. And I'm looking at it right now, and that aircraft is still rotating to the left. And as it does, you can see more and more sunshine showing on the wings. And there are definitely two engines. The engine pod extends beyond the front leading edge of that wing. And I hadn't studied it with regard to other aircraft previously. And,
That's actually how a CFM56 is mounted, as opposed to the older JT-8Ds.
Right. I would say from this photo that engine mount is roughly 8 feet from the side of the fuselage.
Exactly. Now go look at a 767 and figure out how far that engine is out.
No, it doesn't fit. I hadn't looked at it from that angle. But they're talking about the flashes, and as I rotate this series through, I see that as the plane rotates, more and more light shows up on the wing and on the rudder assembly back there.
Exactly.
And then there is, as that fuselage turns to a certain angle, then the length of that fuselage lights up. Now, these are the ones, John, when I called in originally on this subject, people thought I was kind of grisly because I went through it detail by detail and it's showing the bodies coming out the other side and so on. But that's exactly what I expected to see as an engineer, that these parts, things, you know, body in motion stays in motion, et cetera. And
you see it
as it slices a portion of the wing section, slices through the wall of the building there. And then as that fuel comes out that side and out the other face of the building, there's a big blast of fuel that comes out of there. And that whole mass of fuel ignites almost at the same instant. The one at the side ignites, and then the one... the very next frame, I'm showing the one on the other side opposite the aircraft igniting. Show the aircraft folding up.
Yeah, that was one of the things I had pointed out to Dave Von Kleist in New York. The plane he shows on his thing is painted a dark matte gray, and dark matte gray airplanes do not reflect light like that.
No, this is silver.
It is silver. Yes, it is.
All right. Hold on, John. We got to take the break here. 800-313-9443. And somebody had called in with an off-air question. When will the new video be available on DVD, and will it be available for pre-order? I don't know if you're making a movie out of this, but we will have a copy of that material. We'll be right back.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152. Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
John in Minnesota, go ahead. You're on the air with Carl Schwartz, author of One Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas, which I will remind folks is on sale at this network. No place else can you find a copy of this because we produced the book. 800-724-2719 to get a copy of this book, folks. 800-724-2719. And this deals with George Bush and post-9/11. It doesn't deal with the 9/11 issue per se, except to say that it was used as an excuse to go into Afghanistan and Iraq. John, go ahead.
Yeah, there was in that frame after the wing, portion of the wing is sliced through that sunlit wall, and you have that dual explosion. The second explosion is just beginning the combustion phase. At the leading edge of that, there's an object there that I cannot identify. Have you identified that?
Could you be a little more specific? There was a lot of flying debris. I mean, one of the things you'll see in the video we have is that a lot of that plane did not penetrate. It was literally shredded on the column line.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can see the parts coming off on the back side here.
Yeah.
But going out the far side of the building, there's, for all the world, it would look like a piece of box beam or something horizontal.
The biggest object that came flying out of the east side of the building,
uh-huh,
headed to the northeast was a jet engine that was found six blocks away at Church and Murray Street.
Okay.
That was the jet engine that we were talking about earlier.
Okay, that could be what I'm seeing here. I can't identify it. But,
The other jet engine, both of the jet engines came flying through the building. The other jet engine was found about three blocks away on top of a building.
Okay, I'm not picking that one off in this series of photos. I wish I had better quality photos than this, but these are
That's what we've been looking for. I tell you, John, before we go to the next caller, I need to tell you what was just handed to me by one of my associates. This is incredible. But anyway.
Okay, and I'd like to cross-check with you on the material I have, if you've got this particular series of photos, because if you don't, well, you maybe need to pursue that one, too, because these are quite good. I've checked the background detail, that is, things that are in the front, very front of the photo, and, you know, they may have messed around with the aircraft and so on in some various photos, but in this one, there's a series of a continuous movement by an object on the left, lower left of this photo that the continuance of it is too clean for it to somebody to have played it. See what I'm saying?
You may be talking about a helicopter that was in that area.
No. This is some electronic equipment.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. Could you give me a call after the show? And I do want to know if you've got this series, because if you don't, you really need them.
You can contact me through the network there.
Okay.
All right, John.
Very good.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh.
On the issue here of the Popular Mechanics totally ignoring the discussion of the conspiracy theory that a remote control guided the airplanes of 9/11, the only question that the remote control conspiracy theorists leave open is this: where were the airplanes controlled from? Now, NASA does more than spaceships, pioneering the remote control of airliners. And then keep in mind, it should not be implied that NASA was involved in the 9/11 incident. Clearly, they were not involved, or at least we don't think they were. And this was on the, they had actually done a series of photos, and I'm looking at them right now, with a radio-controlled plane, and what they had set up. And this was going back before the final flight on December 1st of 1984, more than 4 years of efforts past trying to set up final impact conditions. And they had the 15 flights had 15 takeoffs, 14 landings, and a larger number of approaches to about 150 feet above the prepared crash site under remote control. Now, on the final flight, with no crew, all fuel tanks were filled with a total of 76,000 pounds of AMK. I'm not sure what AMK is. And a remotely piloted aircraft landed on Rogers Dry Lake Bed in an area prepared with posts to test the effectiveness of the AMK in a controlled impact. Now, this was done on a B-720, but in the 20-some years post those attempts with radio control, Carl, we have onboard systems in jet airliners right now that, well, there was even talk about at one time replacing the pilots because they were a redundant system, because an aircraft could literally taxi, stage for takeoff, take off, go into flight mode, land, prepare for landing, and land and taxi without a pilot aboard.
That is in the 757, 767, and 777s. I mean, they can, it's fully automated flight. I mean, the only thing the pilot's doing is shepherding it along. And the system has been around for quite a few years. You're correct.
All right. Eric Schein. Hello, Eric.
How's it going, John?
Good.
Carl?
Hi, Eric.
I wanted to kind of, raise it or actually step back from the events of 9/11 a little bit and look at the things that are on a more macro scale, national and global. As far as the owner and agency or department that actually built the World Trade Center, the Port Authority, and who controls the Port Authority, which is the Department of Transportation. I hear the music starting.
Yeah, hold that thought, Eric. Carl Schwartz, hang on. Callers, hang on. We'll get to all of your calls right after this break. And again, to my off-air question person, we will have the video streaming on RBN Live as soon as we get it.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied towards your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sangian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
988-3325. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Was that a short break, or did time just skip a beat here? Folks, I had to do one of those normally bodily function things, and I don't think I've been this late coming back to the microphone.
John, since we've got Eric on the line,
yes,
he'll get a hoot out of this. I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs, and some of your listeners can actually do some research this weekend. If they want to, just send it to me on my email, which is available on my website. This is just today. NICE signs deal with New York Fire Department. U.S. dollar $2 million expected to improve department's ability to manage voice transmissions, efficiency of event reconstruction. This is Rihanna-based NICE Systems Limited has struck an estimated U.S. $2 million contract. They're based in Israel.
And what they're doing, they've already put in a system for the New York Fire, Police Department. Now they've been awarded, this is a NASDAQ-traded NICE. And who got them this contract was a company called IXP Corporation, a consulting and integration services company. You know, basically, they've with the Israelis come right back in here and be involved directly in the systems that the New York Police Department and the New York Fire Department are using for communications, which is not a good sign. And it's just it's another example of what Eric's already faced out there and how many times they just leave the doors wide open to a foreign country as to whether or not we have any national security. And we don't.
Yeah.
Anything else, Eric?
Yeah, actually, Carl hits on a couple things, and they're included in what I was going to try to bring up about the Carlyle Group and how it was owned by General Dynamics for a while. And, of course, everyone knows the ties to bin Laden and President Bush I. But General Dynamics and the Carlyle also owned and controlled United Defense Technologies. They General Dynamics had bought from Chrysler the M1 A1 Abrams tank division. General Dynamics also had all the subs. And what's going on is, I mean, the military-industrial prison complex it's on steroids. But from what Carl just brought up, there's some related disturbing news as to who's actually going to make the president's helicopter in the future. And if you look at all the different contractors, it's four or five different international consortium or a consortium of four or five different international corporations. So now the security of the president and the plane and the technology incorporated therein, which of course will be proprietary, that, you know, the American people and or even our defense departments will not have access to, they can, you know, basically bug the helicopter, do whatever they want. But if you look at, like, even General Dynamics,
Or more importantly, Eric, maybe withhold parts because it's a consortium of people that have put this thing together. And what if the aircraft needs replacement parts and we're now not good buds and pals with the country that's making those respective parts?
Oh, yeah, that goes to national security and even civil defense. But more importantly, just think about, say they go, okay, you guys have corrected the voting machines and now elections are... they're not governed by ES&S and Diebold, you know, and 80% of the vote is actually controlled by these two brothers. And all that is corrected, and the vote is open, and there's no proprietary information used. And we actually get a president that represents the people for once, we haven't had one in quite some time. That would be a miracle in and of itself. Say they allow that to happen, they don't really care because now they own and control the helicopter that he's in, flying in. If they want to take it down, if they want to eavesdrop, if they want to control the technology or, like you said, even the parts, that's a very disturbing. I mean, they've got all their bases covered from one end or the other. And even if you look at, like, who General Dynamics is, they also designed the onboard computer for your vehicles that controls emissions. And if you start to look even deeper into, like, OnStar, which is similar to, like, the whole RFID thing, but it's actually one step up because it goes into satellite tracking of your vehicle. Not only can they call down and unlock your vehicle via OnStar, the same computer that controls that and allows that also controls your braking system, and the new braking systems can pulse an individual wheel and actually cause an accident through the onboard computer through OnStar if they want to. The technology is there. It's actually in your car now. What's even more disturbing, though, is that General Dynamics also did a lot of work with the Israelis. They had it's a machine. It's similar to the Enigma machine that the Germans had in World War II. And what they did was basically took that same concept or principle but updated it electronically. And they came up, and it's basically called frequency hopping. You use it even in a lot of cell phones now to keep the signals strong. And you have a chip on either side that hops the frequency identically so that no one can track the conversation on the different frequencies as it goes back and forth. And General Dynamics worked closely with the Israeli secret services to come up with this system of secure communications. So it shows a close working relationships of all these different corporations and government entities, many of which like CIA, Mossad, Secret Services. But then you start to look at some of the people like who Andrew Card is, who is chief of staff within this Bush administration. He went to the academy that I did, Kings Point, United States Merchant Marine Academy. He's also was the Secretary of Transportation under the first Bush. And when you start to really realize that all of this stuff is transportation related, not only with GM and, the other thing even about Andrew Card was he was a key lobbyist for General Motors before becoming Secretary of Transportation under the first Bush and then now Chief of Staff under this Bush. And you start to look at how OnStar, now GM has come out, they tried to float this red flag in California about using RFIDs to tax people on the, you know, roadways. Shortly thereafter, after people were saying, no, this is a bad idea, this is about tracking people, GM comes out and says, we're going to have OnStar as a base item in all our vehicles, and whether you want it or not, it's going to be in there. A week after that, Ford comes out and says, well, we're going to put it in too, and it happens to be a, plug in your lighter type portable tracking device that's similar to OnStar because they're trying to catch up to what GM's doing. When you start to look at the bigger picture of who's involved and just how far advanced this thing is, I get disturbed to some level and degree when people, and I'm not knocking Carl or anyone else's efforts, but at some point people need to realize the courts are being fortified and shut down and underfunded and privatized. All of our transportation systems are being privatized. Our presidency has been privatized. Congress has been privatized. The judiciary has already been privatized. And it's a lot further along than people care to imagine.
Well, Eric, if you go one step deeper, one of the things I disclose in my book, the RFID technology, Savvy Technology is providing the security for our ports. And if you dig in very deep to that, Lee Ka-shing, K1 Ventures, and a bunch of Global Crossing scumbags are major shareholders in that company.
Yep.
And, they've got these people ingrained and embedded to where they think they've got us encircled, but most people don't know what to look at. They don't know what a nesting doll arrangement is. They don't know how these people hide behind corporate shells. You know, that's what I'm teaching people in my book. I'm teaching them to pay attention and dig more than one inch deep. If you don't, your own future is in jeopardy.
Yeah, and I that's why I keep trying to, raise the alarm and tell people that I'm dealing with bankruptcy court, right? Because they've, that's where I'm at. And what I'm discovering even in there is so disturbing. The district courts, the U.S. Marshals Service, they use subcontracted employees to defend the court systems. This is the district courts, the bankruptcy courts, and everything.
Eric, I hate to interrupt you. I mean, I appreciate you calling in here, but I've got many callers hanging on. Do you want to make some quick bullet points, and then I got to let you go?
Well, that was it. And basically just the bigger picture, and that people need to really, really start becoming involved, reading Carl's book, working with your station and other stations to even form networks and alliances. And
well, we are a network, and that's exactly what we're trying to do and expand this so people have the opportunity to hear people like Carl Schwartz or people like yourself, Eric.
Exactly.
That is in the works, and that's what we need to do. Too many people have been giving lip service to that and not too many people putting that into action.
Yeah, no, I'm 1,000% behind you, and I commend what you're doing, John, and you too, Carl, and, keep with it.
We got to. We don't have a choice, Eric.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
Take
care. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Got some announcements here to make. True Seekers, I like their moniker here, because we care, comfort in knowing. This is kind of, I'm going to have to go through this because I have a little backwards here. We the people of Texas, that's out of San Antonio. Those folks down there are on 105.7. And do you happen to know the other frequency down there by any chance, Paul? 101.5, okay. We the People of Texas, Unseen Hand by Ralph Epperson. Frank Whalen will not be here this weekend, sorry. But this starts at 10 a.m. It's a Silver Eagle Tap House, and that's at 9301 Farm Market 725 in McQueenie, Texas. That's just west of Seguin. And just north of Texas Highway 78, Sunday, April 10th, at the China Emperor at Four Square, that's 111 West William Cannon, at South Congress in Austin. There'll be a buffet, a $7.99 buffet down there, and Ralph Epperson will be there. Oh, I think this thing kicks off around 12 noon, and there's going to be it's going to be a, quite a lengthy presentation. There's a donation of $5 for the lecture. He's going to be talking, Ralph's going to be talking about the New World Order, America's Secret Destiny. And it's a PowerPoint presentation. You're not going to want to miss that. So there you are, folks. Now, one other thing that I wanted to bring up, and then we'll get back into these phone calls. John, Alan, Jane, just hang on. We'll get to all your calls. The Popular Mechanics claims that the landing gear made the Pentagon 12-foot hole. And what they say here is the whole truth, and that's spelled H-O-L-E. Flight 77's landing gear punched a 12-foot hole into the Pentagon's ring. Now, folks, in construction terminology, punch-out refers to making an opening in a wall to access the inside contents of the wall or the inner rooms. Now, what is the evidence that the wall opening next to the road that runs inside the Pentagon was actually made by a backhoe? The photographs are on Rents.com. Take a look at them. The red writing on the side of the opening, it reads, punch-out. Now, that's a big giveaway. The orange-circled Vs directed the backhoe operator to make the opening within the Vs, one on either side of this hole. The bricks on the edges have been clawed away from outside by backhoe teeth. Now, it's pretty clear that this wall opening was made by construction workers needing to access the inner Pentagon, not by a landing gear, as claimed by Popular Mechanics. And they say, would somebody please tell Popular Mechanics? Now, the reason that's important, folks, they said that this originally, the hole in the Pentagon was made by the plane. Well, people started to question that and said, well, wait a minute. It's a 12-foot hole. How do you cram a 757 into a 12-foot hole? Well, the simple answer to that is you do not. Wings, engines, tail sections, much of the fuselage, contents of the plane would be splattered and strewn about. And one other note, if there was so much fuel on this flight, where is the burning fuel outside of the building? Not there. Let's go back to the phones. John in Tennessee. Hello, John. You've been holding for quite some time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you letting me talk. Listen, I called about 9/11, but before I do, let me say that I was a weapons mechanic in the Air Force in the 70s, stationed at Davis-Monthan, right down the road from Hughes Aircraft and the Military Aircraft Storage and Disposal Center, MASDIC, where they could literally get any plane that they wanted ready to fly very quickly. They've got any kind of plane that you, that the military has used is being stored in Arizona in perfect humidity and covered up from the dust and whatnot. The main reason I called was before I get to 9/11, being a weapons mechanic, I'm familiar with missiles and rockets. That was my job. I saw a tape of Flight 800 almost immediately after it happened. There's no question in my mind that that was a missile. So I was aware back in the mid-90s that the government lies. Now, when you look at 9/11, I didn't want to believe it, John. And for the first 6 months that I listened to RBN, it was unimaginable the things were going through my mind to think that our government could do something like that. And I think one of the problems that people have with believing it, even though they see it before their eyes, is questions like, well, where are the people that were on the planes and whatnot? I have a friend whose wife's uncle was one of the pilots that flew into the towers. And I turned him on to RBN. He had been listening, and he went home and told his wife what he had heard, you know, that the government was involved. And then she actually broke down, because if that's the case, then where is her uncle? Where are the people that were on the planes? How could our government do this sort of thing, you know, men, women, and children and whatnot?
I can answer your question in part. Two air traffic controllers came forward and started talking. Both of the flights that took off that supposedly hit the World Trade Centers were actually directed to the east, and they disappeared in a single sweep of the radar out over the Atlantic. And the two planes in question that hit the towers are what we have been focusing on. We know basically where they came from. What we've been trying to nail down is ownership and to prove that they are not 767s. There's a gentleman from Arkansas that I know. He lost his daughter on the second plane, you know, the one that supposedly hit the South Tower. And he and I have had several spirited discussions about, you know, the fate of his daughter because she was a stewardess on that plane. And I've tried to explain to him, I said, you know, just stay tuned and watch as this develops, and you will start to see that these people are reacting and running for their lives from the truth. And it's a truth that you're seeking. I mean, he wants justice for his daughter, and I don't blame him. But and another thing that we found, I've had people ask me about Flight 77 that purportedly or allegedly hit the Pentagon. In a tape called Treason, Inc. that was put together by Craig Hill, there is a brigadier general in the Pentagon, and this is a quote, "We have reports of an airplane crash on the Kentucky-Ohio border." Not Pennsylvania, where 93 went down. We're talking about Kentucky-Ohio border. And that's what he is describing, and then he was shut up. But most people don't, they've never heard that because they didn't see that on TV. That's actually another video that came out from another direction, from inside the Pentagon.
All right, another question, and we have two remaining callers, and I'll get to both of you, Alan and Jane. Has there been any searches of the Atlantic for those missing flights, and wouldn't that be a smoking gun, is the question.
I'm not aware of any searches, and from what the air traffic controllers at what is called Boston Center, not Boston Logan, Boston Center, those two air traffic controllers were interviewed by one of the case investigators for one of the lawsuits filed. They said in a single sweep of a radar, those planes vanished. And they were at an altitude of between 20 and 25,000 feet.
You know, the thought keeps going through my mind. Why didn't they roll out James Kallstrom? He was the magic boy for Flight 800. Why didn't they roll this guy out? He was real practiced and real polished with his presentations to the media.
Well, let me tell you something we're waiting on. You're aware of who I've been talking to as an intelligence agency, and I don't want to mention them over the air.
Right.
We're trying to get them to confirm that they had 5 to 7 agents on TWA Flight 800, and what they were in the United States doing was proving that gold fraud, and that gold fraud was bogus collateral for that $120 billion Brady bond deal that I've already written about and was posted on Online Journal and is linked at my website.
All righty. Alan in Kansas. Hello, Alan.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Mr. Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
I have, and I'm with you on all this stuff, but I have a copy of a TV guide, September 29th, 2001, and on page 8, and it has an article on it. It says Terror Hits Home, the face page of this thing. And it has on page 18, this would be the second plane hitting the second tower, so I'm looking at the south face of a building. And it's a small picture. And these, of course, in TV Guide, these are not good quality pictures. But what strikes me, and I would say use caution on any video you get, any picture you have, because what I'm looking at is an aircraft with two engines, and it's turned high on the right side and tail high and nose down a bit, going towards the building. It's not quite hit it yet. But what strikes me is I've got two little bright circles at the engine exhaust. Now, commercial aircraft, not like military aircraft, and they have a lot behind the exhaust on these engines, and it looks to me like, you know, you get around an airport, you don't see the fire in that engine unless you're looking right directly at it.
Well, yeah, on a CFM56 type of engine, if you're looking right up the tailpipe, you will see the flame.
Yes, but what I'm saying is this picture should have that exhaust. The tailpipe should be high and to the left. I should not be looking right down the tailpipe on this engine, either one. And so I'm saying to get a nice, bright, round dot, I'm not sure that they haven't touched these pictures.
If you're talking about the one that I've seen on the web, that is one of the pictures that we think has been altered, and it is part of that sequencing I was saying where it went from 8 frames a second to 12 frames a second, and somebody inserted something.
Yes. Well, this is just a photograph in the TV guide, and I don't know who did what to it, but when I'm looking at this picture, this airplane, and there's enough fuzziness, and then some stuff pretty, you know, bright, and then it struck me, you know, at the angle of this airplane and everything, I should not be looking right down the exhaust pipe on these engines, and I probably would not see the fire of those engines.
Yeah, but one of the things that you will see when John starts streaming this video we have, he'll have a copy of it within days, as soon as these other people have finished their first phase of evaluation. You're going to see the difference between the clarity of what a TV-style movie, you know, type TV-style camera can shoot and what was aired on our major media networks, which I think was intentionally blurred.
Well, all I'm going to say just from the little bit I'm looking at is, you know, use extreme caution on any material you get because I don't know how to trust it. I hope you all do.
Well, that's what I've tried to tell Dave Von Kleist. Any digital media can be altered.
Well,
right there in front of your eyes.
Well, this one picture and like I say, it's not a good clear one. But it just looks to me like somebody put in these two little lights like you're supposed to see this, and I'm not sure you would.
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about, and it's it is questionable. And also the angle of that plane is questionable when you see the actual impact.
Well, the angle that they have on this picture is pretty extreme to me.
Yes, it is. And you'll see in the video we have got our hands on now that the actual angle of penetration was only about 10 degrees to the left.
Well, that would make sense. They've got this plane looks like it's a 40 degree roll.
Yeah, it's about a 40 degree roll,
and nose to tail looks like it's down almost 10 degrees.
Yeah, it's a very very straight impact. You'll see it in this video.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate your call, Alan. And Jane, you'll be the last caller on this edition, Friday's edition of the National Intel Report with Carl Schwartz. Go ahead.
Thanks, John. This is where the layperson just becomes lost in a wilderness of mirrors because I'm not the least bit technically qualified to rate the integrity of these various videos and pictures that are out there. And essentially we're relying on the technical experts and the scientists, people like Mr. Schwartz, you know, to sort this out. Although common sense, and having spent some time around steel mills at Sparrow's Point doing union organizing, among other things, long ago, it made it obvious to me that the towers were not brought down by jet fuel fires. I mean, that's almost a high school physics level of understanding of common sense.
When they were designed to take impacts from large jet airliners.
Right, yeah. Right. And Kevin Ryan, the courageous whistleblower who at Underwriters Laboratory blew the whistle on that, and guys like Eric Schein, Eric Schein you just had on, who's at great personal risk as he tried to expose government corruption, people like Sibel Edmonds, Deer Singh. You know, there's so many people out there taking risks, losing their jobs, being threatened, the safety of their families being threatened.
Yeah, we don't need any more martyrs, and what's going to protect these people is more and more of the public at large knowing what these people know, but more importantly, other people that have knowledge, that they sense a certain amount of safety and security moving into the public realm with this information. Once that starts to happen, Katie, bar the door, because the ne'er-do-wells are going to be in a very, very bad position. Hey, look, we got to run. Thank you for your call, Jane. Carl, thank you very much, sir. We'll be looking for that video soon, and have a good weekend.
You will have it within days, John.
All right. Thank you, Carl Schwartz. See you Monday, folks.
Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.